Good morning. So again, I will be discussing assessing and addressing adolescents' pregnancy, where they live and learn. And this is our disclaimer. And so this morning I will expound on how 17 progressive community partners work within their conservative communities to implement sex education programs and provide teen-friendly clinical services. In particular, I will focus on the strategies in which were used in analyzing and utilizing community needs assessment data, how the formation of community partnerships and capacity building help with the conservative community in Augusta, as well as evidence-based programming in the community and access to contraceptive and reproductive health services. So the Teen Pregnancy Prevention Initiative was signed by President Obama and is funded by CDC and the Office of Adolescent Health. There are 5 national capacity building organizations as well as 9 funded state and community-based grantees that are all working together to address disparities in teen pregnancy and birth rates in their communities. So welcome to Richmond County, Georgia. Richmond County is extremely conservative political and have very religious views on sex, sexuality, and sex education. They are actually implementing an abstinence-only until marriage curriculum with 6th graders. The teen population is about 15,668 teens. They have one of the highest teen pregnancy rates in the state of Georgia, which is 80.5 at the onset of the initiative. But in addition to high teen pregnancy rate, there are high dropout rates as well as low graduation rates. And there are approximately 425 churches in the Augusta, Richmond County area, which will be important throughout this presentation. So GCAP worked within the Richmond County community to implement a community-wide initiative, which is called We Are Change. There are 4 strategies to reduce the teen pregnancy in that community by 10% by 2015. And those strategies are to implement evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs, link teens to quality health services, conduct stakeholder education to increase support of evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention strategies, as well as improve the sustainability of the program organizations for the initiative. So there are 17 organizations that are part of the initiative, as well as a community advisory council and a youth leadership council. Now that I've kind of set the background of the community and the initiative, I will go into some of the strategies that was used. So at the beginning, the evaluation team worked with GCAP to do a community needs assessment. Tools from Philbert Research Associates were used to conduct the surveys within the community. And what we're looking at was the perspectives of the status of teen pregnancy in the community, attitudes towards evidence-based teen pregnancy prevention programs, the engagement and behaviors that place youth at risk for teen pregnancy, and access to and use of reproductive health services. So over 1,000 surveys were collected within the community, as well as it was supplemented by focus groups. And some of the subpopulations that participated in the community needs assessment were youth, adult caregivers, businesses, faith leaders, elected officials, pharmacists, youth servant organizations, and clinics. And again, since the community is very conservative, we did want to make sure that we included those faith leaders and those elected officials in the survey data. But who's missing? The school system is missing. So some of the results from the community needs assessment is despite the conservative views of the state of teen pregnancy in the Richmond County community, the caregivers and the youth were very concerned with issues that deal with sexual risk behavior, such as sexual violence or abuse that Ms. Nelson alluded to earlier in her presentation, as well as the threat of AIDS and other sexual transmitted disease in teen pregnancy. It was more of a concern with the parents than the teens. And the parents were also concerned with the high teen dropout rate. Now, looking at the public's official perspective on teen issues, they thought their constituents were more important, that was most important to their constituents was crime and violence, child abuse and neglect, youth development, and education. So teen pregnancy nor sex education was one of their concerns. Now, looking at sex education in the school, at least 9% of youth and caregivers alike believe age-appropriate sex education should be given to the teens, as well as sex education in the school beginning at that transition stage, so between elementary school and middle school, because middle school starts around sixth grade in Richmond County. Now, adding the faith community's perspective to the idea of sex education, the faith community, caregivers, and youth all alike believe that sex education should be given to teens no matter their sexual activity. So whether they were practicing abstinence or whether they were already sexually active, they believe that teens should be given sex education. And the caregivers believe that the information was being given too late, whereas the faith community believes that the information was given at about their right age. So looking at the faith community specifically on sex education, the faith community believes that everyone had a role to play in providing teens with information about sex education, which was contrary to our belief. What we thought that the faith community would be had reservations about it, but they were actually, they had opportunities within the faith community and within the church to actually have youth group meetings and messages and workshops that could provide topics about sex education and that relate to teen pregnancy and contraceptive use. So given these baseline findings from the 2011 community needs assessment, Community Partners was able to use the data to select evidence-based program and clinical best practices to implement in the Richmond County community. So 10 different evidence-based programs were selected. Also, the teen population and the best locations for these evidence-based programs were identified through the community needs assessment. So in particular, they wanted to work with juvenile delinquents, alternative education programs, the military, because they had a military base in Richmond County, as well as after-school programs, foster youth, and colleges and universities. Some of the barriers that were identified by evidence-based programming and clinical best practices were with the faith-based communities, school systems, and the juvenile justice systems. Opposition to a more comprehensive sex education and more so on abstinence only, and they did not want to include, because some of the evidence-based programs include a condom demonstration skill building, they did not want that part to be included within their evidence-based programs. So looking at the capacity building and the training of the initiative members to address teen pregnancy and its determinants was very important in turning the more conservative community into a more progressive community. So GCAP, in conjunction with some of the national partners, provided a lot of training and technical assistance to the community partners, the Youth Leadership Council, and the Community Advisory Council to build their capacity to mobilize the teen pregnancy prevention efforts by addressing conservative barriers. And some of the training and technical assistance that occurred for the conservative viewpoints were working with diverse populations. GCAP hosted a legislative perception, as well as holding trainings on adolescent development and sexuality to community members and community partners. Specifically for the community partners and the Youth Leadership Council, there were trainings on how to work with teen males to get more teen males involved in evidence-based programming, The community partners that were implementing the evidence-based program were trained on the different evidence-based programs that they decided to implement, as well as clinical partners taking a contraceptive counseling, motivational interviewing training, which helped them better communicate with the teens when they were coming in to select what type of contraceptive or LARC they would want. And also, training and technical assistance was also provided to the organization as a whole for sustainability of their efforts, whether it was about fundraising, using the GTO, getting to outcomes, how to do evaluation, and build logic models. So some of the indicators of effectiveness of the formation of a progressive partnership included having that proper funding from a national initiative to build the framework or the foundation for an initiative to get the partners to work collectively on addressing a common goal instead of before the initiative working in silos trying to make headway on reducing teen pregnancy. And so to date, 17 community organizations collectively worked to decrease teen pregnancy by 20%, which exceeded the goal of 10% by 2015. So they have already reached their goal. Collaborations with the right community partners and making that collaboration very visible. So partnering with local radio stations, the clinic hosting Let's Talk Month to get the youth and the caregivers and their parents in the same room to start to have these conversations about sex and contraceptive and birth controls, as well as formal linkages being in place to trans and staff turner. So when you have these MOUs in place and that key champion may leave the organization, that MOU is in place for the work to actually continue on. So that was one of the indicators of effectiveness, as well as informal linkages and professional relationships in place to meet common goals. So even though they may not have those MOUs in place, clinics can partner with youth-serving organizations to link teens into either the evidence-based programs or vice versa, link the teens that are there for evidence-based programs into clinics to get clinical reproductive health services. So I'm going to give you guys a few case studies of the three community, sub-community populations that we experience barriers with. So with the faith community, the Community Advisory Council spearheads the community mobilization and sustainability component of the initiative to build alliance. And what they did with the faith-based leaders was they formed a subcommittee of faith-based leaders. That mission was to address the issues of teen pregnancy in the community, and they began this by having luncheons. And from this luncheons, they reached out to different churches that were in the community, because there are like 425 churches in Richmond County, and to see what these different communities can do to address the teen pregnancy issues. And so a few local churches, they had equipment to do like PSAs, so they had the youth to come in, and they did skits and PSAs that they ran on local channels on in Richmond County. Actually, one of the faith leaders established a business in which she, the focus is teen pregnancy prevention focus. So she actually implements evidence-based programs to different churches and different colleges and universities, as well as two evidence-based programs, Making Proud Choices and Project AIM, being implemented with teens in the community churches. So churches are allowing some of the community partners to actually come in and implement these teen, these evidence-based programs. And looking at the juvenile justice system, there was not the same level of buy-in as it was with the faith leaders. So like the school system, the juvenile court only wanted to implement an evidence-based program that only had abstinence only. And they were working with youth that were, not all of the youth were detained. Some of them were ones that had been adjudicated or had been through the court system. And the detained youth, they wanted to allow them to have the more comprehensive sex education, but the ones that were out in the community, they wanted to give them the abstinence-only program. Also, they were very reluctant with the condom skill building activity and the evidence-based program, and so therefore, with the Project AIM, which is focused at youth development, when they got the opportunity to do that, they wanted to switch to do that youth-focused development program instead of one that focused on more so on teen pregnancy prevention. Other barriers that were experienced with the juvenile justice system was the level of turnover, and it was at all levels. So whether it was the courts, whether it was with the facilitators, or even with the caseworker, there was a high level of turnover with the juvenile justice system in Richmond County, as well as the caseload of the caseworkers being very heavy. So that capacity wasn't really there to actually implement the evidence-based program because they had to do other administrative tasks. And as well as there being red tape with the contracted facilitator not being an employee of the juvenile justice system and being able to do just even turn in evaluation work or contact some of the participants for retention. And looking at the school system, also in 2010 when the initiative came to Richmond County, three of the schools there received also funding from Obama. It was a school improvement grant that focused on trying to get their graduation rates up higher. So the school was kind of already juggling or trying to work on this graduation rate. So the opportunity for sex education was really kind of not an option or not a high priority on their agenda. So in the first 4 years, the CAC developed a subcommittee similar to what they did for the faith leaders. However, there was no avail with that because the school systems was already bombarded with trying to work on their graduation rate. So with the new elected officials in the school system and on the school board in year five, there is promise with the school system. So the GCAP has worked with the Community Advisory Council and for them to receive training and technical assistance from an expert with experience in assisting schools with implementing sex education in Georgia to determine the right approach as it pertains to sex education in the schools. And they also have looked at a suggested program for the school system, which is the more youth developed focus. Evidence-based program. And I'm running short on time, so these are the list of the evidence-based programs. So they have gender-specific programs that are actually implemented in the community, which are female, and some becoming a responsible teen is not a male-specific program, but in the community they are implemented in the military with just males, as well as co-ed programs, abstinence-only programs, and youth development. Focus programs. So there's a variety of programs that the partners are actually trained in and can actually implement in the community. With the clinical partners, they are implementing 31 clinical best practices that pertain to contraceptive access, quick start, STD, HIV testing, and providing that very youth-friendly environment for the teens to come in and receive services. And so I'm going to skip to the key takeaway services. So three of the replicable approaches to assessing and addressing adolescent pregnancy in Southern conservative states is first to do to begin with an assessment. So identify the problem and the determinants and strengths and barriers. And identifying the determinants really helped with this initiative because it helps to garner that buy-in from some of the communities or partners that are not or that are resistant to the common goal, as well as to share these findings to promote awareness and action. Also, to have a collective impact, to build a collaborative partnership with the right community organizations as members and build partnering organizations' capacities to address these issues within their communities. And accessibility, to capitalize on available resources and strengths and eliminate and reduce barriers using evidence-based practices.